Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
We've talked a bit about trust on here before, about hormones, about oxytocin, because, you know, we're always big into talking about what are the scientific reasons for all these surface levels of interaction, for all the ways that we feel, the ways that we behave, like what's making us tick. And oxytocin often comes up in terms of trust, in terms of love, in terms of emotional connections. So it was probably a bit too much for us to think, or for anyone to get the idea that this is just a purely positive thing, that there's something in the human body and in all of our the machinery that underlies who we are, that there's one substance that's just nothing but feel good in a jar.
It's not the platonic ideal. And if anything, this idea that oxytocin could have a dark side is just more evidence of the duality of things, right?
Right.
And we've talked about oxytocin really in terms of cuddling and hugging.
Yes.
That whole idea that if you wrap someone in an embrace for 20 seconds or more, that you're giving them just the right amount of pressure that your body will actually begin to produce oxytocin. Now, I want everybody,
I still like that idea, and
I think it's great.
I'm totally in favor of 20-second hugs.
All right, but
between consenting adults,
we will. Yeah, and this sort of like hug pile up, hug club thing, I'm not behind, by the way. But we will revisit this idea later as we talk about the dark side of oxytocin.
So where do we get this idea that oxytocin is this super feel good drug? The thing is, we can kind of lay this at one individual's feet, for the most part. One Dr. Love, one Love Doctor.
Yeah.
An individual who you've seen on TED Talks, up there with his microphone, preaching the word of oxytocin and making a very compelling argument, as individuals who give TED Talks, at least the more recent ones, often do. You totally buy into it, and you're like, yes, the feel-good hormone, the mother hormone, the hug hormone, the kiss hormone, let me have some of that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about Dr. Paul Zeck, a.k.a. the Love Doctor, in a moment. But I wanted just to mention that oxytocin is an extract from the human posterior pituitary gland. And it was discovered in 1909 when the British pharmacologist Sir Henry H. Dale found that it could contract the uterus of a pregnant cat. And, of course, that's another way in which oxytocin shows up, right? Not just in cuddling or, you know, acts of lovemaking, but also
in cat experimentation.
Cat experimentation and basically mammalian birth, right?
Yeah.
According to Ed Yong, though, we have taken oxytocin as a sort of panacea for all ills, and we'll talk more about that with regards to Paul Zak. But I did want to say that the hormone is found in everything from octopuses to sheep, and its evolutionary roots stretch back a half a billion years. And for decades, animal studies have shown that oxytocin is important for social interactions. So, for example, if you block the hormone, monogamous voles will actually become more promiscuous and use neglect their newborn lambs if they don't have access to that oxytocin. So you could see how it would be informing our ideas of connection, bonding, love, and even in the whole sort of birth and death cycle that we have, these notions about how we go along here in society.
Yeah, all these social animal interactions that we inevitably have all of these additional emotional layers that we wrap up in as humans, at the scene of each crime, oxytocin. So,
yeah.
Like, that's the thread that runs through all of them. So, of course, we end up focusing on that. And then as it's reported and championed, it increasingly becomes seen as this magical feel-good elixir that that flows through us.
You're right, because there are accounts of it being released when you tweet something and you dance.
Yes.
You know, it shows up everywhere. And I think that is what some researchers will say is the problem, is that people are looking more at the results and not necessarily looking at the chemical mm-hmm. and why it is produced. So again, let's talk about Paul Zak though, because
yes.
he kind of is the guy that you have to point to who at least brought this idea of oxytocin as this utopian chemical to a lot of people's imaginations.
Yeah, he's an American neuroeconomist, and he even refers to himself as Dr. Love. So he really presses this idea that not only is it at the root of all of these positive social interactions, but that it can, or at least has the potential to change the world, that it can be used almost offensively for the social betterment of the human race.
Yeah, he actually even calls it the morality chemical because of some of his studies that he did many different variations on, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic premise is that there's something called the trust game. And this is when a person, player one, is given some money and told to send a portion of it to the second person, who is player two. Now, player two has a one-off choice to either accept or reject the proposal. And if player two rejects, then neither one of them get any money whatsoever. But if player two accepts, the money is split according to the proposal. So again, here's this idea that, you know, there's some sort of morality in generosity at play here.
Mm-hmm.
And typically a low offer, less than a third of the player's initial endowment, is rejected as stingy, ensuring that both players are getting nothing. And that's where that sort of morality comes into, because mm-hmm. even though someone is offering another person a certain amount of money, if I offer you 10 cents, you might be like, wait, no way, that's not enough. I'm not even going to take it. And then
yeah.
neither one of us get anything.
Mm-hmm.
So when Zak tested the blood of players who had demonstrated trustworthy behavior, he found that their oxytocin levels had increased in proportion to the monetary transfer.
Hmm.
And he did this again and again, as I said, just with different scenarios getting more and more philanthropic, right? So sometimes players would give to a third party, and they would begin to see these spikes again in oxytocin in the act of their generosity. And so he's sitting there making this case that perhaps just the presence of oxytocin could be enough to change the way that we operate in the world.
Right. And is no surprise, as we were looking at some links yesterday, you can go on Amazon and you can buy oxytocin. You can buy, there's one called Liquid Trust that doesn't sound creepy at all. It's in a spray canister so that you can make people trust you, supposedly. I don't know. I haven't tried the product, but my guess is that it doesn't work. The reviews seem to think it didn't work.
No, I have it just it's being piped into the air ducts here.
Oh, is it?
And
okay.
No evidence that anybody's getting any more generous with their sandwiches.
So one of the things that we're going to get into the particulars of this, but I think that the root here is that oxytocin ends up being presented as this this positive hormone,
mm-hmm.
as this emotional hormone, as this morality hormone, when it is, in a sense it is a social hormone. And it definitely is involved in different social interactions.
Mm-hmm.
But are all social interactions positive? No, not in the animal world, not in the human world. And even the emotional responses in the human world that we see as positive, when you strip them away and you start looking at how they work as an organism, you see just how much human BS is involved there. You know, you can easily make the argument that this whole, you know, hormonal rush and the attachment, the bond between parent and child. I mean, that's just about the organism surviving. That's
mm-hmm.
just gets down to the root genetic mission that, in and of itself, is completely devoid of love and understanding.
All right, we're going to get to the bottom of this, of the much more nuanced burgeoning understanding that we are having of oxytocin in a moment, but let's take a quick break.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
All right, we're back. Let's talk about oxytocin and how it actually has been showing up in studies is taking on a far different role. I'm talking about envy and Schadenfreude.
Yes. Now, envy, of course, we've discussed in detail. We did a whole episode about it during our exploration of the seven deadly sins.
Mm-hmm.
Envy is when you see something that you want, or you see something in another person, and you maybe you don't even want it, but you just sort of detest that it's there. You might even just want to destroy it. But you have this intense negative response to something in somebody else or of somebody else. And then there's Schadenfreude.
Well, that's when something unfortunate happens to another person, and inside you sort of celebrate when you see or hear about it, right?
Yes.
Which is, it's not a great emotion, right? But all of us, at some point or another, have probably experienced it.
Who doesn't like to see their friends fail every now and then, just to feel a little better about
it? Well,
yourself.
It could be a frenemy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, and that's probably, I bet that if you had some sort of widespread study on this, you'd probably see it's more frenemy than enemy, right?
Yeah, because your enemy, I feel like part of the Schadenfreude situation is that you feel good about it, but you also feel bad about it. Like, you know you're not supposed to feel it. Where you don't really feel Schadenfreude about a bitter enemy, falling in defeat. That's more just, the pure victory of overcoming your adversaries.
Well, that might be a clue as to why oxytocin plays a part in Schadenfreude, because if you think about it, as you said, oxytocin is really the social hormone.
Right.
If you feel closer to someone that you know, then perhaps you're not going to dwell in that arena of emotions. So I wanted to point out that Simone Shemay Tesorsi at the University of Haifa in Israel showed that as well as promoting trust and generosity, oxytocin can heighten feelings of envy and Schadenfreude. This is in the journal Biological Psychiatry. When volunteers played a gambling game, those who inhaled the hormone gloated more when they beat other players. They also reported more acute stabs of jealousy when the tables were turned.
Ah.
Okay. Now, that gets us into more of this, again, social construct here. And you think about how we treat one another and how we are sometimes biased when we make decisions because of the relationships we have with people.
Yeah, I mean, everywhere you go in human culture, obviously there are all these divisions. There are divisions of race. There are divisions of economic status, of social status, mm-hmm. of your status in a working environment. All of these barriers come into play, mm-hmm. and in many cases, artificial barriers that are just purely social in form. But you end up with all these different packs or tribes.
And we've seen this again and again, that even if two people are in a room and they have something in common as, say, the same shirt on or the mm-hmm. same color, they tend to just subconsciously feel more connected to that person. So the link can be so tenuous.
Yeah.
And yet we make that connection.
Oh, I have that shirt. Or, oh, you like that band as well.
Yeah, because on some level we want to project our own feelings onto that person and yeah. believe that they're like us.
That's why we have icebreakers. I know everyone hates icebreakers, but If one stupid game of ice breaking, trust falls, mm-hmm. or passing notes around, if that can prevent one office axe murder, then I say go for it.
Absolutely. And actually, as an aside, since we just did an episode on vulnerability, that's mm-hmm. a good example of when you show your vulnerability, you show yourself, and there's more of a commonality there. But Caroline de Klerk of the University of Antwerp in Belgium, she found that people under the hormones influence became more cooperative with one another, only if they have some information about their partner. But when they were paired with an anonymous stranger, they became less cooperative. Now, that was some real insight because, again, oxytocin has been touted as this bonding agent.
Yeah, like something that's just breaking down barriers. Mm-hmm. You pump it into a room and two bitter enemies are just going to embrace in a hug. Not so, because our social interactions are also about divisions. It's, from an evolutionary standpoint. I mean, think to that scene in 2001, Space Odyssey, where, it's tribes of monkeys beating each other up with bones. And that social interaction, and no doubt there was a little oxytocin involved in that situation. That actually happened. I'm not of the mind that scene involved actual apes killing each other.
Well, I think the problem, too, is that people, when they looked at Paul Zak's work, mm-hmm. and he was a big proponent of oxytocin and basically saying, like, oh, they're in the London riots. If only, people weren't high on their testosterone and they were high on oxytocin, that wouldn't have happened. People said, no, that's a cultural thing that mm-hmm. went on. It had to do with economics. It had to do with education. There's so many different factors involved there. And Paul Zak kept saying, well, no, I don't think so, because because our results are coming from the chemicals which are measurable in the blood, and that's far more accurate than, say, fuzzy images from a brain scan, we think that there's more hard evidence. But he, you know, I don't think that he or some of the researchers at that time really took into account the cultural aspects. And I wanted to mention that Hee-Jung Kim of the University of California in Santa Barbara found that in South Korea, where it's usually a faux pas to sort of burden your friends with any of your problems, mm-hmm. he found that people who were certain carriers of this gene, how to explain this? We've talked about this before, actually. There are some people who have an A variant of this gene and some people have a G variant. Mm-hmm. And basically it helps dock the oxytocin. So you know, the receptors, you're going to have much more oxytocin flowing through you if you have this G variant of this
gene. So this is where we get into the people who are genetically huggers and hug addicts.
Yeah, we were talking about this. Hug addicts. People who are hugging all the time, they might be needing a fix because they really like that oxytocin. Well, what this researcher found is that the people who are the hug junkies or who should be the hug junkies actually sought solace far less than their non-caring variants. Mm-hmm. And that at the end of the day, it's the social trait. It's the social sensitivity. And it's not, you know, this idea that you're responding to oxytocin is not determined by biology, but by culture. Mm-hmm. And here's a good example of people who are acting in a certain way, even though biologically you should say, those are the people who are going to seek solace most often.
Now, of course, mindset plays a huge role here as well. And mm-hmm. if we look at the research from Jennifer Bartz from the Mount Sinai School of Medicine, she found several responses that depend on a person's mindset show that socially secure people remember their mothers in a more positive light after inhaling oxytocin, while anxious ones remember their mothers as less caring and more distant. So in that brief example, you can see how the oxytocin, yes, is having an effect on the individual, but it kind of depends on the mindset, the existing wiring or the existing plumbing when you pump this stuff in.
Yeah, she actually showed that oxytocin hinders trust and cooperation among people with borderline personality disorder. So again, it cannot be this reductionist, like you just give someone some oxytocin and they're going to cooperate.
Yeah, you can't just get that bottle of liquid trust and just start hosing people down thinking that it's going to universally have this positive effect on them.
Right, because you have the cultural aspect to it and then you just have the mindset. So some people actually may act in ways that are counterintuitive to mm-hmm. this whole social bonding situation. And that brings up this question of why. Why would oxytocin act in those various ways? And much of that is still a mystery, but there are a couple of theories. So back to Bartz. Now, she would say that the key to understanding what the hormone does is really in talking about its function, rather how and where it shows up. And there are a couple of theories out there. Oxytocin could help reduce anxiety and fear, or it could simply motivate people to seek out social connections, which would account for a rise in trust and cooperation in some people, but also explain why oxytocin sniffers gravitate toward others resembling themselves, and why people who fear social rejection are not necessarily better off with more of the hormone. So if you have anxiety in someone and they get a dose of oxytocin and their fear arousal is heightened, then that's just sort of playing to what they're already experiencing right now and helping them to what they think battle is, you know, these threats.
We're going to take one more quick break, and when we come back, more on this exciting topic.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app, Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, what is this all pointing towards? Pointing towards the obvious, that oxytocin is not a magic bullet. It's not something that you can put in a can, spray in somebody's face, and it's going to fix whatever is ailing them. But as we're saying that, there are plenty of studies going on right now. I think, 40 different clinical studies that are currently ongoing about oxytocin. And they're exploring it with a more nuanced understanding, for the most part, of what oxytocin is. So we're hoping to get a better understanding of how it works and how it is engaging in all of these social interactions, and there's the possibility that we will learn how to better treat certain conditions with oxytocin.
Right, like a lot of those clinical trials are looking at autism and schizophrenia because the idea is if you give a child who is autistic a dose of this, that perhaps he or she will heighten their ability to connect, to bond, which is one of the things that when you look at the autism spectrum, there's sometimes a lack of that. But researchers are saying, don't go online and get the spray.
Yes.
First of all, the concentrations aren't going to be enough to really do anything. And second of all, if you look at these other findings that say that it can heighten, this envy, this Schadenfreude, these other sort of antisocial aspects of it, we're not certain how that's going to play out with people who might have autism or schizophrenia. So, let the research continue on that so that they can get a better picture of it.
Yeah, because to a large extent, each individual's wiring, each individual's plumbing is a little different and sometimes dramatically different depending on what's going on there neurologically. So spraying one person down with oxytocin and spraying another one down, potentially vastly different effects. So,
yeah, and do not try at home. And I do understand how it, and one level it's sort of disappointing because of its associations with all the sort of kitten and rainbows, existence, childbirth, breast milk production, puddling, but you know, it's a chemical and it's far more complex.
And we, above everything, we want science to give us these silver bullets. We want science to say, here's the vaccine for this. Here is the treatment that fixes this. Here is another way that we can address something that is wrong with an individual or even with us as a species.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't actually going to bring this up, but you and I have talked about this before. TED, the conference, has come under fire sometimes because it is, does deliver these big ideas and sort of silver bullets, you know, solutions. And it, some people have said that it can be sort of reductionist in that way. And Paul Zak's TED Talk is really great and it is really uplifting. But at the end of the day, it you know, humanity is much messier than that.
Yeah. So there you have it, oxytocin. We've covered it before. Now we've covered it a little more, and this time we've added a little darkness to our discussions of it. So take that with you as you observe yourself either engaging in a 20-second hug or feeling the seething envy as you look at your friends in your Facebook feed.
You know what I'm going as for Halloween?
What are you going as for
An Halloween? Aggressive oxytocin hugger.
Oh.
See, doesn't that totally recast your idea of hugging now?
Yeah. Yeah, like a junkie, like I just need my fix.
I need my fix, and I envy everybody else who gets the hugs, and I don't.
There was a recent.
I will be hugged.
There was a recent skit on Key and Peele where it's where there's a baseball player that's really into slapping other baseball players' butts, and he ends at the end of the other baseball players on the team tell him, no, we don't want you to slap our butts anymore. You just do it way too much and you're just way too into it. And at the end of the episode, he's like a junkie with withdrawals, just asking, you know, for one more slap to one more butt. And you know, it's silly and goofy, but really, I mean, a social interaction like slapping a teammate's butt, there's invariably oxytocin involved there. And if one is a G-type butt slapper, then the situation is very akin to an addict. So
I think I'm going to create these sort of blow-up arms that really create a vice grip around people so they can't escape. And maybe a little countdown clock so after 20 seconds they can escape.
Yeah. Or you can just shout the countdown like right in their ears as you hug them.
I'm going to be the most popular person at the party.
Yeah. All right, so there you have it, the darkness of oxytocin. Let us know how this information incorporates into your understanding of your own life or the lives of those around you. We're always game to hear those. And, hey, in future episodes, we're going to try and fit in more listener mail, but we're kind of running fast and ragged at the moment, or at least I am. So how do you find us? How do you get in touch with us? How do you find the podcast? You go to stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's what you do because that's where we put everything. And then if you want to interact with us on a particular social network or another, well, we're on Facebook. We are on Tumblr. We're Stuff to Blow Your Mind on both of those. And on Twitter, our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line, and you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Parents, if you've ever experienced bedtime battles with the kids, I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Koala Moon podcast has revolutionized over 20 million bedtimes, with parents like you calling it life-changing and the perfect nighttime routine. With original kids' bedtime stories and cozy sleep meditations, every episode has been specially designed to make bedtimes a dream. Listen to Koala Moon on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. we dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.